Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room Show on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show comes to you live from Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark. Brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems, The Toy Store, Desserts Bakery, Lewis Clark Insurance, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lakeside Self-Storage in Heath, and Ship Brothers Brewing.
And a pleasant good Monday evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Licking County Locker Room. We are live from Ship Brothers on this beautiful Monday evening in downtown Newark. I'm your host, Brian Mays. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday evening. A lot to get to. We're very excited about the guests we have coming up. It's a historic moment at Watkins Memorial, and we'll just leave that as a little tease at the moment, but we'll be talking to one of the outstanding Watkins Memorial athletes and her coach in just a few minutes. But as we always do, let's recap Friday night's football, and we'll start with our game of the week this past Friday from Walter J. Hodges Stadium at Granville High School. The Blue Aces entertaining the Licking Valley Panthers, and Valley remains undefeated with a very convincing 35-14 win over Granville. Licking Valley got the ball first, took it right down the field, 13 plays and 80 yards, and the 13th play got him into the end zone.
Second and goal. Galoney in the backfield with Rogers. Waits for the snap. Gets it. Galoney off the right side. It is a touchdown for the Licking Valley Panthers. Let's just get our lunch pail, go to work, take the ball down the field, hammer it in for six, and the Panthers are on the board at 5:29 first quarter.
Extra point was good. It was 7-0 Licking Valley, but Granville came right back and answered, and they had a huge fourth and six to tie this one up.
Trips to the near side, one wide out to the far side. Kirby on the left shoulder of Jackson McMillan on this fourth down. He will go back to throw. It comes a blitz. It is picked up. Fires. He's got a man wide open, and it's Ryan. He makes a couple men miss. 10-5. Touchdown, Blue Aces. Carter Ryan, the freshman, with a 38-yard touchdown grab, and both teams scoring on their opening possession. Valley leads at 7-6 with the extra point on the way.
Extra point was good. We were tied at 7. Both teams' defense then showed up and forced three and outs. Granville's Bodie Shopes then hit a 50-yard punt that sent Licking Valley back to their 3-yard line. But two plays later, the field position switched.
And here's a good handoff and a huge run. Here goes Galoney. 40, midfield, 45, 40, 30. Looking to make contact, breaks two tackles, takes it inside the 15-yard line. A mammoth run. Just when we said, oh, he's not flashy. Well, that's pretty explosive right there. What a change of field position. And inside the red zone, here come the Panthers.
One play later, quarterback Brody Rogers got it into the end zone.
Rogers, he will keep it. Breaks two tackles, and Rogers into the end zone. They started at the 3. 4 plays later, 97 yards, they take the lead. Stunner here at Walter J. Hodges Stadium. Absolute stunner.
That made it 14-7. Granville started to drive, and they were in Licking Valley territory and had a fourth and short.
Fourth and very, very short for Granville at the 41. Hand off Kirby. And I'll tell you what, Garrett, I think they stopped it.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my goodness. What a bull rush by the Valley defense. He had about 4 guys right there. Kyle couldn't do anything, and Licking Valley with a mammoth stop on defense.
That led to a 3-yard touchdown run by Galoney and a 21-7 halftime lead for the visiting Panthers. Kind of seemed like this game might be over, but Granville got the ball to start the second half, and just 2 plays in, changed the complexion of that third quarter.
Second down and 12, McMillan to throw. He is going for the deep ball, and he's got a man, and the catch is made! 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, house call! Blue Aces! Casey Ricardo out of nowhere, and they're right back in it.
Extra point was good. It was 21-14. How would Licking Valley answer? Very effectively and efficiently down the field they went. They faced a 4th and 11 from the 14-yard line, and they made the backbreaking play of the game.
Fourth down, a minute 39, 4th and 10 from the 15. Rogers to throw, looks, fires. Catch me, touchdown! And he comes right back to Barrows, who says, I'm not dropping this one. He got smacked, but he holds on for a huge touchdown pass. Rogers to Barrows, and they deliver.
Extra point was good, 28-14, which led to the final again of 35-14. The Panthers' defense held Granville to only 6 first downs. Kyle Kirby, who's had a monster year running the football, only had 39 yards on 12 attempts. Jackson McMillan was 10 of 20 for 205 yards. The freshman Ryan getting 4 of those catches for 106. What a night for Donovan Geloney. 213 yards rushing on 29 carries, went to the end zone 3 times. Rogers was 11 of 15 for 111 yards and also had 82 yards rushing as well. So a big win for Licking Valley as they remain in first place in the LCL Buckeye. Watkins Memorial, talk about scoring points. They had no problem doing that at Zanesville, winning 69-16. Drew Samsel hit Jaden Ricketts for touchdown passes of 3, 23, 9, and 36 yards, all in the first half as the Warriors cruised to the victory. Samsel added a 9-yard touchdown run, and also Roscoe Pascoe with a 9-yard run as well. And the Warriors doing the job on defense as well with a couple of pick six. Maddox Gozen and Landon Fields each returning an interception for Watkins, getting their third victory on the season and their second in the LCL Buckeye. Mount Vernon is the other unbeaten team in the Buckeye. They took care of Licking Heights on Friday night, 42-13, with 16 unanswered points in the second quarter to pull away. They were able to take a 30-7 halftime lead and made it 42-7 late before J.J. Shackelford was able to hit a touchdown pass to Ian Rice for Licking Heights. So that will set up a showdown Friday night in Hanover between Licking Valley and Mount Vernon for sole possession of first place. We'll move now to the LCL Cardinal. J.J. Holloway had a couple of touchdown runs of 72 yards and 5 yards in Heath's 40-6 win against Newark Catholic at Whitefield. The Bulldogs remain unbeaten in the LCL Cardinal. Holloway's 2 scores helped the Bulldogs out to a 12-0 lead. Braden Gibson then had a 26-yard touchdown pass to Quentin Sunkel to make it 19-0 at halftime. Tristan Jones added touchdown scores of 9 and 64 on the ground in the third quarter. Gibson then threw a 24-yard touchdown pass to Sunkel to wrap up the scoring. Gibson, a perfect 10 of 10, throwing the football for 175 yards, and the Bulldogs outgained the Green Wave 475-222. So Heath now moves to 500 overall on the season, and again, 3-0 in the LCL Cardinal. The other unbeaten team in the Cardinal, that would be the Utica Redskins, and what a bizarre play that they had right before halftime. They were trailing 14-0. Camden Hall caught a pass, took it down the field, realized he was not going to get into the end zone before the clock would expire, so he just threw it behind him and said, well, hopefully somebody will get it. Mason Bowen did. He took it into the end zone. That made it 14-6. The Redskins' defense did not allow a point after that. They scored more and got the 28-14 victory on the road at Northridge. Jamie Ordrumski started the scoring for Northridge, returning the opening kick 88 yards, and then Jace Golden's 3-yard touchdown run made it 14-0 before the bizarre play before halftime. Yuka tied it in the third. Aaron Hayes hit Hunter McKinney for a 28-yard score. Then Hall's 27-yard touchdown run with 7:22 left gave them the lead. And then Utica recovered a fumble, and 6 plays later, Hayes scored on the 2-yard run. So Utica is also 3-0. They play at Johnstown this week. They are 4-4 on the season. Speaking of the Johnnies, boy, did they turn it up against Lakewood. 71-0. They get the victory at Lakewood to move to 3-1, and also now 5-3 overall. Landon Myers ran for scores three times, 13, 30, and 7 yards. Ryan Sager added touchdown runs, 74 and 10 yards. Caden Carpenter threw had a 33-yard touchdown run, and Luke Carter threw a 33-yard touchdown pass to Grayson Goodman. Also, Stevon Grady had a punt return for a score for Johnstown. The Newark Wildcats, they are in playoff mode right now, knowing they need to win out to have any chance of getting to the postseason. And it started Friday at Taze Valley. They trailed 14-0, but the Cats were able to rally and get themselves a 31-28 comeback win in the OCC Buckeye. As I mentioned, the Vikings were up 14-0. Then Bodie Smith got everything going and connected on a 33-yard touchdown to Colton Peterson to make it 14-7. Peterson again got a 5-yard touchdown pass from Smith to tie the game at halftime. Then Alex Irvin Royster scored on a 1-yard touchdown run to give Newark the lead. Irvin added another 1-yard score to make it 28-14. Taze Valley got a 43-yard touchdown to close to within 7, but the Cats were able to get a field goal late and then held on for the 31-28 victory. So Newark now is 4-4, and the interesting stat with that stat is that Newark is 4-0 on the road, winless so far at Whitefield this season. They'll have one more chance coming up this Friday when they play host to Reynoldsburg in a must-win situation before they end the season at arch rival Lancaster. So again, the LCL Buckeye, Licking Valley and Mount Vernon both 3-0, Watkins 2-1, Granville 1-2, Licking Heights and Zanesville winless in three contests. Cardinal, Heath and Utica 3-0, Johnstown 2-1, Northridge 1-2, Lakewood and Newark Catholic winless in three contests. Computer points look this way. Newark with the win was able to move to 13th in Division 1, Region 3, one spot out of the top 12 getting into the postseason. Division 3, Region 11, Licking Valley is number 3 this week, and again, the top 4 do get a bye of the first round. Granville, with the loss, they did slip to number 10, and it looks unlikely that they will be able to host a playoff game in the first round. They do need to win out to make sure they still get into the postseason. Division 4, Region 15, Johnstown 10th, and Heath is 11th. So both the Johnnies and the Bulldogs are in right now in Division 4. And Division 5, Region 18, Utica, slowly but surely picking up a little bit of steam. They are 15th, so they are still on the outside looking in, but they have a chance because they finished with Johnstown and Heath. They win both those games, they would get in. It is a tough, tall ask to have that, but it's there in front of them if Utica can get the victory. Up next, we are going to talk tennis and a milestone taking place at Watkins Memorial, and we'll speak to the individual who's been able to accomplish that. That's next on the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers on Kate 98.7.
Reclaim your garage, office, or basement with Lakeside Storage in Heath. Get your second month free after your first paid month on a variety of units starting at $65.
Sizes from 5x10 all the way up to 10x30.
Discounts for police, fire,
military, clergy, and educators.
Organize your living space today.
Safe, secure, local, Lakeside Storage Heath.
Save space and money.
Visit selfstorageheath.com today.
The commercial Exmark Laser Z zero-turn mower is built for durability, productivity, and profitability. Get yours today at Buckeye Valley Equipment. The Exmark Laser Z is available in a 52, 60, or 72-inch cut and features a range of horsepower from 24.5 to 38 with your choice of a Kawasaki or Kohler engine. Take your business to the next level with its outstanding 5-year warranty. Visit BuckeyeValleyEquipment.com today for more details.
I'm Cindy Lane, and here at Lewis Clark Insurance, we love football. It's not just because we have 5 grandsons playing either. It takes a team to make a win happen with hard work and dedication. Here at Lewis Clark Insurance, we recognize the value of team, and that's why we partnered with Auto Owners Insurance years ago. Lewis Clark Insurance, representing Auto Owners Insurance. Together, we have the playbook for your insurance needs. Auto, home, life, and more. LewisClarkInsurance.com.
Licking Memorial Health System's mission to improve the health of the community extends above and beyond providing quality health care services to Licking County residents. We value service and philanthropy and support local organizations that uplift and strengthen the entire community. LMHS is committed to supporting community benefits in arts and culture, housing and economic improvement, youth activities, social service organizations, higher education, and community service.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, "Where's a local bakery?" you say, "Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love the sweetness of
dessert. Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Come see us for the 2025 Factory Authorized Sales Event. This is Jeff from the Toy Store in Thornville. We have savings of up to $4,000 on select Polaris side-by-sides, $2,000 savings on select Polaris Sportsman models, and 2-year warranty on all full-size Ranger models. Financing specials as low as 0% for qualified buyers. Now's the time to ride, so come visit us at the Toy Store or PolarisTheToyStore.com. Family-owned and operated for over 20 years. Come see us. It'll be the best decision you make. You won't be disappointed.
Just like our local teams dominate the field, Win Waste Innovations dominates waste removal. They tackled your toughest disposal challenges with championship-level service for homes and businesses. From residential pickup to commercial solutions, they're the all-pro team you can trust. Score big with reliable local service that keeps our community clean. Visit win-waste.com or call 866-WIN-WASTE. And good luck to all our area teams this season. Go get that win.
And we're back with the Licking County Locker Room Show on Cape 98.7.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to highlight Watkins Memorial Girls Tennis. And why, you ask? Because Nora Grennan Jr. is the first female player, not just at Watkins Boys and Girls, but the first player from the LCL and county on the girls' side in tennis to qualify for the state tournament. So, Nora, before we even get started, congratulations with that honor. How does that make you feel?
Super excited. I've been working really hard for it, so I'm just really excited and just really happy about it.
I know that you are well aware of the fact that you're going to be the first one from Watkins, but now to know that no other girl from the LCL or even just the entire county has been able to qualify, when do you think that might sink in? Because you still have some work to do, so we can't celebrate yet. But
yes.
to be the first one to ever do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome, and I'm just really happy for our school, and I'm just happy in general. I honestly had no idea, so that's great.
Well, congratulations again to it. So let's go back to the match. You were trailing after the first set, and then I think as your quote was, you looked at the second set as kind of a refresher, let's go get it. You were able to take advantage. Your competition ended up withdrawing or retiring from the match. So what do you think flipped the switch going from the first set to the second set?
So definitely the first set, I was really beating myself. I wasn't like, she was a great player. She's amazing too. But I was really just making errors on my own. So I just needed to flip that over the second set and just refresh and restart and just focus and know that like I can do this as long as I play good. So I just played how I knew I could, and then the tide started to shift.
And in talking to your coach before we started here, which as he is trying to leave the area before he has to go on tonight, but we'll still get him on at some point, you have trailed in a couple of matches and have fought the way back. So Talk to me about your mentality going in, even with if it's not going the way you wanted to start. How do you kind of keep that focus and knowing what you need to do to accomplish?
Yep, so I definitely think adversity really helps me. So I'll be down and I'll just be like making errors and stuff, but it just really takes like my mind to shift and just refocus. It's really easy to just like get back into it and understand like I can do it. I just need that shift, and once I do that and once I focus and just focus on the ball and nothing else around me, it starts to affect my game.
When you get on that roll and you are able to shift momentum to your side, how do you think you're able to keep it with you? Because I think tennis, I mean, you know, it could be 40 love and somebody, or let's say love 40, and you're able to hold your serve 15-40, and all of a sudden it just starts to switch. How do you try to maintain that momentum on your side when you do get it?
I really just think staying loose and just trusting my shots really helps, because once I get those few balls back in and once I start getting in a momentum, it really just, as long as I keep going and keep hitting the ball hard and keep focusing, it stays with me.
What made you want to get into tennis at a young age?
When I was 5 years old, it was actually a Christmas present for my family to all go and hit, and I actually didn't hit. I was just picking up balls, but I really started to love it, and I did gymnastics when I was younger, and once I kind of fell out of love with that, I started focusing on tennis, and I just really, really loved the sport, and then I started working really hard.
Well, and to have that agility from having gymnastics, because you have to be able to move around quite a bit, and we're going to talk about one of our favorite players coming up in a little bit, but to be able to be flexible, that's a huge advantage to have out on the tennis court.
Yeah, for sure.
So is there a certain part of the game that you enjoy more than others? Serve, returning, whatever the case may be?
Definitely just like staying in the point and playing out like long rallies and just hitting really hard back and forth with like just changing up the pace of the point, going short ball, deep ball, side to side. That's just, I really enjoy that.
Okay, so I'm going to follow up on that, because when you're battling each other and it's boom, boom across, do you decide at a certain moment if you'd want to go a little bit shorter? I mean, do you try to control when that point might start to change?
So it really depends on where their ball is landing on my side of the court.
Okay.
And where they're positioned. So if they're really deep or to one side, like closer to one side than the other, that just makes me decide where I want to hit it. So like if they're really deep into the left, I'll hit maybe a drop shot short into the right. Or sometimes, like, if I'm hitting back and forth on side to side on the court, I'll hit it behind them. And then if all their weight's shifting one way, it catches them off guard and they can't shift back.
Now, you just talked earlier about just focusing on the ball. All that what you just said, there's a lot of thinking going on out there. So
yeah, there is.
Which one is really true?
Well, all of that really just is, like, in my mind, and it's not really what I'm like. Like, I'm definitely thinking about it, but it's really just comes natural from all the training that I've done, where really all I'm focusing on is hitting that ball and just watching my opponent.
And you talk about training, because I think as much training and coaching as you get, it is still an individual sport. Like, there's times I'm sure you just decide to pick up a racket and start hitting or do what you need to do. Is it one of those where it really is kind of up to the tennis player how far they want to go, how much they want to do? Yes, you've got coaches that want to help you and push you along, but it really comes down to how much you want to do each and every day, right?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Walter obviously puts a bunch of work into it, and I'm always at his practices, and I'm always at my coach's practices and stuff, but it does come down to the nights where I'm just going out and serving by myself or using the ball machine and just hitting alone or working out at home, and that stuff definitely pushes it to another level.
Can you overdo it? Have you overdone it? Because I like when we've had soccer players on, the practices leading up to a match, the running and all that, I just wonder about fatigue. And, I mean, your arms can only hit the ball so many times. Is there any concern that sometimes you might be pushing too hard getting ready for a match?
For me personally, I definitely take the day before a match slow and rest a little bit. But also, I love the sport so much that it really is hard for me to get to that level. And if I do, I will rest and rejuvenate. But I really just love the sport so much that going is okay for me.
So I'm guessing that you're more of a backcourt player. Is there a little bit of net play, or are you more we hit it and we see what happens?
I'm definitely more a backcourt player, but if I need to go in, I will.
See, I'm from the mentality, old age, of always going in. So we had you know, on the men's side, McEnroe and Connors, and then Martina would always serve and volley, serve and volley, serve and volley. And I'm probably going to ask Coach this, so I'm trying to let him know of questions that are coming so he doesn't freak out on me. But is it just because you're seeing so many of the top players do that, that maybe it is kind of a lost art, or would you like to do more of it, or because it's just... it's not something that you pick up, you know, right away. Like you said, it's probably going to be a short shot, or maybe it hits net court and you're going to have to come in no matter what. I mean, is it? I guess I'd like to see it come back. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it definitely happens a lot more on the guy's side than the girl's side.
Yeah.
But that being said, when I do go to the net or when I bring them in, it really like throws them off because they're not really used to it. So I would like to get better at the net and go in more because I like to affect my other player and throw them off. So,
I would also think, though, that maybe serve and volley has gone away a little bit because we talked about the power that everyone is hitting with. Passing shots probably have a little bit... you really are going to have to anticipate if you're at the net, because if you miss Ron, they're going to pass you pretty easy. Is that maybe part of it, too?
Yeah, I definitely think that is for sure part of it, and that is why you have to make sure you're thinking ahead of where you want your serve to go and how their return will come back based on where you're hitting.
Is the serve at the high school level more about placement than power? Or a combination?
I think it depends, but for me it probably is more about placement because I don't have an insanely hard serve like a lot of the like super strong higher players, but I think it is both. It depends on the person.
And does it also matter? You talked about where the player is positioned, because I'm kind of surprised more folks don't try to serve into the body. I just feel like, now, is that something that you do try to do? Because I just think it doesn't give anybody full extension to return and kind of put you ahead of the game a little bit.
So the last match I played, actually, the girl that I was playing did get tight on when it went to her body, and it was hard for her to do that. So I will, like, depending on how they react, I do like to serve to the body. And I think it is, like, a safer shot, and it pops up, it makes them pop up the ball, which for serve and volley it probably would be good to serve straight to the
ball. I'm working on it. I'm trying. I'm seeing if I can get this to happen. What was the hardest shot to work on, to learn? Was it forehand, backhand, slice, whatever you want to say?
I think I'm always working on a different shot and always improving on one specifically, and then once that one gets better, I feel like the other shot kind of is a lower level, and I just keep going back and forth and improving shots. But overall, I'd probably say the serve was the hardest for me,
sure,
like growing up.
Sure. Yeah, I think it would be for a lot of people, except for me, because the backhand, like I told you earlier, was atrocious, to say the least. So you get to play Thursday, 9 a.m., I believe, is your first match. So that's early. So will you go down the night before just to kind of take care of rest and things of that nature?
Yes, I think we're going down around 1 or 2 because the night before they do an open courts where you get to practice on
okay.
the courts and stuff, so
okay.
that would be great. And then, yeah, we'll go out to eat, and then I'll definitely go to bed early and be well-rested for the next day.
Do you like playing in the morning, or later in the day would be better? Well, we hope later in the day, because you're going to win your first match.
Of
so,
course,
yeah, we focus
course.
On that.
I like both. I do like getting started early and playing because it just feels good to wake up with something I really love, but I'm fine with either.
And the weather, I think, is going to be good Thursday and Friday as well, so that's good to know. And we haven't said about where this is going to be. It's going to be in Cincinnati, the Lindor Tennis Center, which hosts the Cincinnati Open, the kind of the key match or tournament before the U.S. Open on hard courts. So playing where some of the greats have played all time, has that sunk in yet?
I'm just so excited for that. I've been watching people play on those courts, people I really love play on those courts so much, and I'm just really excited to get the opportunity to do that too.
And I saw an article where, and I think it was Roger, who said he felt the tournament folks had slowed down the hard courts to assist Alvarez. Now, who knows where this is all going, but is it important in those open courts to maybe get a feel of the speed? Because everyone thinks hard courts are the same, but that's not necessarily true.
To be honest, for me, I haven't really noticed a difference besides like between clay and hard courts and
okay.
then different surfaces. But
well, that's what he's for. We'll ask him.
Yeah, who knows?
So, well, that's good to know, because, I mean, I do think Roger would know. If anybody would know, it probably would be him. But the other thing with hard courts, too, is you can get a lot of balls that skid. Necessarily like close to the mm-hmm. line and things of that nature. So I know you play a majority of hard courts. We'll talk about clay here in a minute. But is positioning on the court, again, what your opponent is doing, but also just maybe how the ball is reacting on the hard court? Like you play a little bit farther back maybe?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think it depends on how – obviously it depends on how the opponent's hitting the ball because mm-hmm. they hit different heights, different speeds, different – bounces and stuff, but I think the court definitely has something to do with it.
So tell me about playing on clay. What was that like?
It was just really exciting, and I really liked it. It was really nice to move on the court because you can slide and
yeah.
slide up, slide back, and slide to the side. So it's definitely really fun, but it gets my shoes really dirty.
Yes, it does. That's for sure. But you feel like you have more time to get ready for your next shot, correct?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is it... But then I also say on the other side, then you hit a boomer, and it gives the opponent time to recover, too. So is there a different mentality when you have to play on clay? Maybe even more patience?
Yeah, I definitely think so. The last time I played on clay, I was a bit younger and not as high of level, so I don't really think I was thinking through it that much when I was playing on clay. But I definitely think you do have to play different, and you have to adapt to how the ball is bouncing.
And you have played a couple times on grass, too. Is that correct?
I've played on fake grass.
Fake grass.
Yes.
Fake grass.
Well, yes, I have.
It still counts a little bit. So, well, when you get to Wimbledon, that'll be the real grass,
for
and
sure.
we can go over there. Favorite Grand Slam, what would it be?
Probably the U.S.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing
yeah.
wrong with that. And we talked earlier, but your favorite players?
On the girls' side, it's Naomi Osaka because I saw her at the Cincinnati Open, and that was just really awesome. And then on the boys' side, I've always liked Djokovic, and then also Sinner because when I was in France, he was staying at the hotel right next to mine.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was really exciting, so I've always liked him too.
Can Novak get one more major? I have my doubts.
I hope so.
I hope so too. I wish he could play someone besides Sinner Alvarez in the semifinals. I think he'd
yeah.
have a great chance. But his run has been amazing. And Naomi, just how she, I mean, she had soared so quickly. And you could just kind of tell it had gotten to her. And then she took some time out for her family. But her rebound at the U.S. Open, I'm sure, just got a lot of people, and I'm sure
oh, yeah.
including you, motivated to see what she was able to do.
Yeah, it was really exciting.
And she hits the ball harder than what you think. I mean, she can pound those into the corners, too. Is there a certain part of her game that you really like or emulate?
All of it. I'm not really sure. I do like just how she plays and how she moves people on the court. But
I think she has a very nice demeanor. She seems like a nice person, but she has that killer instinct. And I think she really wanted to get to the final this year. But I think she's just a great role model for women's tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of good players on that side. I wish we had more Americans. I am not going to lie. And I think we're getting a couple that are coming much better than on the men's side. That is I'll say this so you won't get in trouble. The men's side is a total disaster. And they've got to find a way to all right. Will you allow me to go on my soapbox for a minute? And
of course.
I do want your opinion on
it. Of course.
Can you tell me why? Because you've watched, and it seems to be more on the men's side than women's side, but it'll be 30-15, and they'll just get their fists fired up, and they'll look at their coaching box and thump their... You've got 2 points at least. Why do we get so focused on 1 or 2 points? Am I wrong on this?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I like to stay pretty mellow on the court and just focus on the ball and not really about everything going on around me. But it gets to a point where if you're down and you need to get back up, pumping yourself up, giving a little fist bump, I think is good too.
If you win a game, understand it. But when it's 30-15, no, I don't need this. Well, I appreciate you allowing me to go on my soapbox there. And you're right. And you've been in those situations. But I think you also know there's so much more tennis to be played. I've gotten back into it. I'm in control. But I know, as we talked about, it could go at any time. So you mm-hmm. really have to keep that mental focus of the goal ahead, don't you?
Of course, yeah. When I win the first set, or if I win the first set, I really like those next three games of the second set. Like, I just completely restart, pretend like nothing just happened, because it really takes a few games to completely shift. And I know that both ways.
Well, you know what? After this break, it's time. It's time to bring on your head coach to talk a little bit. I've given you 20 minutes to get ready for this. We're going to speak to head coach Sean Walter, and we'll stay with Nora as well, as we continue with the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers here on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room Show on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, Kate 98.7.
The commercial Exmark Laser Z zero-turn mower is built for durability, productivity, and profitability. Get yours today at Buckeye Valley Equipment. The Exmark Laser Z is available in a 52, 60, or 72-inch cut and features a range of horsepower from 24.5 to 38 with your choice of a Kawasaki or Kohler engine. Take your business to the next level with its outstanding 5-year warranty. Visit BuckeyeValleyEquipment.com today for more details.
At Licking Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Licking County residents. Our health care technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, where's the local bakery? You say, Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, Buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love.
Come see us for the 2025 Factory Authorized Sales Event. This is Jeff from the Toy Store in Thornville. We have savings of up to $4,000 on select Polaris side-by-sides, $2,000 savings on select Polaris Sportsman models, and 2-year warranty on all full-size Ranger models. Financing specials as low as 0% for qualified buyers. Now's the time to ride, so come visit us at the Toy Store or PolarisTheToyStore.com. Family-owned and operated for over 20 years. Come see us. It'll be the best decision you make. You won't be disappointed.
This is Chris from K-Seps Auto Body. K-Seps as a company, we're growing really rapidly and going through a lot of very good changes. Our entire goal is to grow and get better and serve our customers better. We are very proud to be GM certified, and what that means is that we can fix your C8 Corvette. We have the special tools, we have the training, and we'll be able to get those back on the road. K-Seps Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
K-Seps, quality you can trust.
Reclaim your garage, office, or basement with Lakeside Storage in Heath. Get your second month free after your first paid month on a variety of units starting at $65.
Sizes from 5x10 all the way up to 10x30.
Discounts for police, fire,
military, clergy, and educators.
Organize your living space today.
Safe, secure, local, Lakeside Storage Heath.
Save space and money.
Visit selfstorageheath.com today.
I'm Cindy Lane here at Lewis Clark Insurance. We know football is all about loyalty, dedication, and tradition. The qualities our entire team brings to the table every day. Helping you select the right insurance for your personal needs matters to us because we care about what's important to you. When you suit up for the big game, you want to make sure you've got a team that has your back. Auto Owners Insurance helps our agency bring value, reliability, and trust you can count on. Lewis Clark Insurance, representing Auto Owners Insurance, Auto Home, Life, and more. Lewis Clark Insurance.
Let's head back to the Licking County Locker Room Show, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
We're talking Watkins Memorial Girls Tennis, and we bring on the head coach, Sean Walter. Coach, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've been waiting anxiously to get onto the air. Talk about your feelings when you saw that Nora was going to qualify for the state. What was that like?
Oh, excitement. Just very proud of the way she handled herself throughout all three of these years. And the last 2 years, she was so close. One match away from the state tournament her freshman year, one match away from the state her sophomore year, and then being able to go through it this year just was exciting to see and really proud of her.
And I believe I got to get my numbers right here, but I think it's the first, we know she's the first girl, the first LCL competitive person since 2006 when John Gardner from Granville made it. And from Watkins, Chad Derry, Cody Hutchins made it doubles 96, and then Derry made the singles in 98.
Yes.
So that is a long run.
They were on the team that I played when I was at Watkins.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yep, I knew Chad and Cody very well.
Okay, so, again, what she's been able to do this year, and you mentioned how close she was, but to kick that door down this year, that's just a tremendous accomplishment.
Tremendous accomplishment. We've had a few kids one match away over the last 8 or 9 years, and to be able to knock the door down was really exciting.
What do you think, we asked her this, but what do you think of her game, what maybe is the special part of it or something that she does a little bit better than maybe some of the other opponents that she takes on?
Well, a couple things stand out. One, her brain works really well.
Better if she's doing that much thinking out
she's
there.
She's able to think through a point. She's able to hit her spots with what she wants, her plan. She's able to execute her plan, not like overall game plan, but within the game, like setting up points and then, as she said, being able to go right, left, right, and then back behind her, and that's really helped her. And just her footwork. Her footwork's outstanding. She's always preparing early for the ball.
As a coach, when you see this type of talented player, does part of you say, I don't want to mess this up. I want to be there to coach and help, but I also know she's got a game plan. So do you try to balance the coaching and maybe rooting along at the same time?
Our coaching with Nora is much more about mental, being able to settle down a point, talking through just how to stay focused. Not so much her strokes. Her strokes are fantastic. So we don't worry too much about that. We just talk about our emotions during the breaks.
What's he been like as your coach? I mean, you already know how nervous he is now, so you know you have full rein on this. So, but what has he been like as a coach for you, Nora?
I really have nothing bad to say about Coach Walter. Sadly, but he's been great. I've been playing for him since I think fifth grade, and he's just always been there for us, and always been just going above and beyond to help us on and off the court and just orchestrate stuff to help us get better as a team together. So he's just been really great, and he does help me talk through my mental stuff during matches. So, yeah, he's been awesome. I'm really thankful.
So since you've known her that long and seen her play that long, did you see something special kind of early on?
Day one.
Really?
Yeah. I think so. Story, I guess. It's like fifth grade year. She came out first time, and she had an older brother that was like an eighth grader at the time, and so I was kind of trying to figure out where he fits in to possibly the high school, and we had a middle school program at the time. So, and she was in fifth grade, so I put her down on a court, and then all of a sudden, 3 minutes later, she was all the way up to court one. And it did not take long to figure out, yeah, you don't need to be playing down there.
It is such an individual sport, as we talked about, and you kind of have to have your own philosophy of the type of player that you are. Did you feel you had to shape that with her at all, or she always just kind of had that direction that she needed?
She's always had direction. She knows what she's good at and what she wants to accomplish during a point, and I let her go.
Well, we talked that it's going to be down in the Kings Island area, Mason, and you just told me now that your opponent Thursday morning is from Mason, so she's going to have the home court advantage, per se. Guessing that doesn't change your strategy or anything you want to do. It's just, as Coach mentioned while we were on break, just another potential obstacle or something you want to take that challenge on.
Yeah, not at all. I look at every match like I have to win this. I'm going to do the best I can to win this. And if I don't, I'm going to go down trying. So I'm obviously looking at who she is and what she's done, but more no matter what, I'm just going to go in and try my best. So it doesn't really matter where she's from or how good she is. I just want to win.
If she is at the open courts on Wednesday evening, would you, as she's warming or, you know, practicing, would you do some scouting on her opponent? And is there much you can gather from an open court session?
A little bit, but I think we're probably more focused on how she's feeling and what she's doing, and or as far as she, Nora, what Nora's doing, how she's feeling, what kind of strokes that she's trying to make. I think I'm going to put way more focus in on Nora than I will any of her opponents.
And when the match gets going, again, you're watching her more than the opponent, but you're also maybe just kind of seeing, because again, while she's a great thinker, we know this, she can't capture everything when she's out there playing. So then do you watch her a little bit more maybe when the match is progressing?
Absolutely. If I see something that's working for Nora, we will mention that in the crossover, like the short ball to the backhand has really helped win you a few points, or stay away from the short forehand because she's crushing that.
Yeah.
Things like that, or maybe a serve is typically going to one side or the other. So anything that we can see as a coach or assistant coaches, we are pointing it out to Nora all the time.
Why be a tennis coach?
Oh, why? I enjoy the kids, for one. Like 20 years ago, I had just finished playing tennis at Watkins and was in college, and they didn't have a coach, and it was a year or about a week into the season, and somebody called me out of the blue, and I said, sure, I'll do it. And it took a few years of trying to figure out what I was doing, but then I started enjoying it, and got to be year 3, 4, 5, and I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to do this, we're going to do it well. And so we started changing some things, quite a few years, we've been pretty outstanding.
And it's a, I think it's a hard game to teach because anybody can hit the ball, but where you want to place it, where you want to put it, how you want to adjust to different shots. And is that, I guess this is a two-part question. I'm going to ask both of you. We'll start with Coach here. Because you have to put so much in it individually and there has to be so much work, how do you keep them wanting to be engaged? Because it's tough to want to do that because you're going to have good days and bad days. Some days you're never getting that serve in. And how do you keep that going, that momentum going?
We keep practice really light, fun, a lot of game interaction, competitive points. And I think one of the things that we do as a program is having kids want to show up to practice. Just by the way we run things, our attitudes as coaches, the attitudes we try to present to our players, really invite them to want to play practice, and that wanting to practice just helps feed them becoming better and better.
So you agree with that? Has that kind of been, hey, let's it's intense, but if we can keep it light and competitive, that's going to help people want to stay around and come back?
I 1,000% agree with that. He hit the nail on the head. That's exactly how I feel, and I think that's exactly how everyone feels coming to practice at Watkins.
So then, here comes the hard question. I have to have at least one.
Oh, no.
We've said that. You obviously love the sport. You obviously love the sport. Why is it so hard for this country to get a better tennis program?
Well, I think a lot of our U.S. players, the best athletes, tend to lean towards other sports. Whereas in the world, the best, the primo athletes, lean towards tennis.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. You have any different answer on that?
I think tennis is definitely really trial and error, and you have to put a lot of effort into it and a lot of technique. And it's, like you said, it's not as much. I mean, it's 100% you have to be athletic, but there's also a skill side of it.
Yes.
And it just takes a lot more effort to get better than, so some people might just not want to put in the work.
Well, I think you hit on, I think, on what it is. We're not even going to ask him who his favorite player is since we know who it is and we don't agree with it. You're a junior, so you're coming back. Obviously, you've created this legacy, and you've got another year to go, depending on, I mean, whatever happens, you're still coming back. What would you want to tell young girls interested in tennis and kind of, as you wrap up your career next year, what would you like them to know about the sport, about you, about the program?
For to them, I would just want to say, like, you have to trust the process and just keep working hard and keep doing your best. And obviously, you want to have fun at whatever you do, so enjoy it. You want to be serious, but you also really want to enjoy it. And for me, I just want to keep working hard and just trust in God and see where it takes me next year and just keep working hard at it and just, yeah, just keep getting better.
Well, and we'll see what happens this year. I mean, obviously, a couple matches left, and if you're able to win the state, that is tremendous. If we go back-to-back, hey, no one's going to touch you.
Oh, yeah.
Put her in the Hall of Fame right now. But when she has that type of mindset, and if you see a player that maybe has the talent that Nora does but doesn't have that mindset where it is always, oh, I missed that shot, or I get frustrated, how do you work with those situations?
That's tough.
Well, if I gave her a tough one, you have to have a tough one.
I mean, that's the one thing that's great about Nora, and that's typically what happens to the best players. I mean, honestly, in tennis, the skill set, the ability is important. But to move to that top tier, to move to that next level, to be really great, it's way more mental than it is physical. And so typically what happens when they don't have that mental part of the game, they typically don't get to that level, even with all the skills. So we try our best to slow things down, talk about how to approach things differently if needed, that kind of stuff.
CJ is so sick and tired of me asking this question, but I ask it to every coach. I think in today's world, you have to have different hats, and it sounds like you have done that as a coach, as a counselor, as an advisor, maybe sometimes as a dad, and maybe sometimes as a friend. Do you relish having to have those multiple hats?
Or absolutely. It's just part of the program. You have to change that hat depending on who you're talking to.
Have you seen him kind of work differently with different players and so forth?
For sure, you have to, but he definitely does a really good job with it. And, yeah.
Now, man, this will be a tough question, too.
Oh, no.
Trying, because I don't want to get anybody in trouble before Thursday's match. Most of the time, you're calling your own stuff out in it. Now, does that change here at the state?
No, it's still players call their own lines. Now, if there is ever a problem, which 99% of all matches go off without a hitch, and the players understand this, and they're actually sometimes play more balls out than are actually, or play balls that are out than they actually play them as an in.
Yeah.
But at the state, it doesn't change. Now, if something were to come up, they are allowed to call for a line judge, and then the coaches go out and watch lines for them. But that happens whether it's a dual match in Licking County or at the state final.
What are your thoughts on that, Nora? I'm staying away from him on this one because I don't want him in trouble.
Well, typically, I just kind of try to trust what they say and just trust that they're calling honest calls. If there is a problem, I will say something nicely, but I really don't like the "Are you sure?" because of course they're sure. But yeah. I'll just be like, "Hey, like I thought that was in, but it's your call." But I'll just wait a few times before actually putting any action to it. But I know that at the state level, people are going to be calling closer calls, which you should be. If it's out, you call it out. But I try to trust them.
Well, I think tennis is a lot like golf. There's a lot of respect. You trust your partner. You trust whoever you're playing against. And I think it's the same thing here because you don't want that reputation of someone that's playing a Judge Smales from Caddyshack and kicking the ball all over the place. That's an old-time reference for most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But, I worry in intense matches like that. If one is called out and you know it was in, you just, like you said, okay, I might let this one pass, but you really got to mentally focus to the next point, don't you?
Oh, yeah. In the past years, I definitely have seen, like, that get to me a few times where they would call one of my balls out that I knew was in, they
Understood.
Knew were in.
Yeah.
And sometimes it did used to get to me, but now I know, like, we're at the level where that's going to happen and you really just have to move forward and just work on the next point. The last point is in the past.
And you just kind of tell her the same thing, maybe verbally or non-verbally, just, it's all right, we just keep moving on. Or you trust her enough, you don't have to worry about that.
Both. she does everything on the court just the way you're supposed to.
That's good. Well, it's going to be fun, I guess. I think the butterflies might start a little bit on Wednesday, maybe on the trip down a little bit. But it's going to be an enjoyable night. What, not taking away what you're going to say, but what do you think you will say to her before she goes out on the court on Thursday?
I mean, the biggest thing will be to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
That's number one. I mean, she made it here. Nothing to lose other than just try your best and see what happens.
There was other one question I did have, because being outside, the weather does look good, but if it gets a little bit windy, or there is, I think it might be a little bit cooler, does that change what you try to do?
Well, I actually played today. It was really windy.
It was today, yeah.
You really just have to just watch the ball really hard, because it will spin differently based on which way the wind's blowing. It will be, one side will be faster, one side the balls will go out more or hit the net more. So you really just have to adapt to the wind. And then for the cold, I really just try to stretch a lot more, because you get really tight if you are playing in the cold weather. So
pace is a huge key if it's windy.
Oh yeah,
and
for
really
sure.
Kind of understand it. And I mean, you see at the professional level with some of the serves, if it's windy, I mean, they go way out. So it really is an adjustment. I'm assuming that as long as it's not 30 plus, something of that nature, there's probably a certain level that they would worry about the wind.
Lucky most of the courts that we're going to be playing in Cincinnati are stadium courts.
Okay.
So wind shouldn't be too big of a factor. But honestly, if it's windy, I think that plays into Nora's advantage, just because of how mentally focused she'll be on the court.
We talked about her being able to play at where these professionals have played, even as a coach walking in there. How cool is that?
It's exciting. I mean, there's not a finer place in Ohio to play tennis. And besides, you know, the U.S. Open, I don't know if there's too many places in all of America that we'd rather play this tournament.
It's going to be fun. Coach, thank you so much. Nora, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Finish it up and bring home a state title as best you can.
Yes, thank you so much.
We'll wrap up this edition of the Locker Room Nets live from Ship Brothers on Kate 98.7.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Licken County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience, with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, where's the local bakery? You say, Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love sweetness of.
Come see us for the 2025 Factory Authorized Sales Event. This is Jeff from the Toy Store in Thornville. We have savings of up to $4,000 on select Polaris side-by-sides, $2,000 savings on select Polaris Sportsman models, and 2-year warranty on all full-size Ranger models. Financing specials as low as 0% for qualified buyers. Now's the time to ride, so come visit us at the Toy Store or PolarisTheToyStore.com. Family-owned and operated for over 20 years. Come see us. It'll be the best decision you make. You won't be disappointed.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Reclaim your garage, office, or basement with Lakeside Storage in Heath. Get your second month free after your first paid month on a variety of units starting at $65.
Sizes from 5x10 all the way up to 10x30.
Discounts for police, fire,
military, clergy, and educators.
Organize your living space today.
Safe, secure, local, Lakeside Storage Heath.
Save space and money.
Visit selfstorageheath.com today.
The Commercial Exmark Laser Z zero-turn mower is built for durability, productivity, and profitability. Get yours today at Buckeye Valley Equipment. The Exmark Laser Z is available in a 52, 60, or 72-inch cut and features a range of horsepower from 24.5 to 38 with your choice of a Kawasaki or Kohler engine. Take your business to the next level with its outstanding 5-year warranty. Visit BuckeyeValleyEquipment.com today for more details.
Ever notice how one misplay can mess up an entire football season? Selecting the wrong insurance can be just as bad. Everything is great until it isn't. A claim happens and you can't talk to a real person. Kind of like a football team without a head coach. This is where we come in. I'm Cindy Lane. Let our team here at Lewis Clark Insurance provide choices for your insurance needs. Proudly representing Auto Owners Insurance, bringing value, reliability, and trust you can count on. Auto Owners Insurance, just one of the teams in our playbook. LewisClarkInsurance.com.
This is the Licking County Locker Room Show on Kate 98.7.
Again, thanks to Coach Walter and Nora for joining us on this Monday evening. Again, wish her all the best at States coming up this Thursday. Football on this Friday, looking at the schedule. Newark entertains Reynoldsburg in the OCC Buckeye. In the LCL Buckeye, Mount Vernon at Licking Valley. Heights will host Watkins in the Battle of Broad Street, and Zanesville will be at Granville. LCL Cardinal, North Catholic will be at Lakewood. Johnstown hosts Utica, and our Game of the Week will be at Heath Swine Field as the Bulldogs will take on the Northridge Vikings. All the action right here with the pregame at 6:45 and the live kickoff at 7 p.m. Our next Monday night locker room show, of course, we'll be next Monday, and we'll be bringing Johnstown here to the restaurant, and we'll be talking Johnstown athletics next Monday, 6:30. Come on in or join us here on Kate 98.7. The show begins at 6:30. CJ, as always, great job here at the restaurant. For everyone else, this is Brian Mays. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday evening, everyone. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room Show, live from Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show was brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems, The Toy Store, Desserts Bakery, Lewis Clark Insurance, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lakeside Self-Storage in Heath, and Ship Brothers Brewing.